The date is April 17th, 2002, and we're watching The Scorpion King. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, I forgot to write down names, oh shit, is the Balthazar to my,
Matthias?
Matthias? Sure.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
So, this week, we have brought back a guest that's now on his hat trick episode with us. It's very exciting. Previously, we had him on for Con Air, and more recently, Fast and the Furious. We only bring the most highbrow art his way. Please welcome back Jordan Ward.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me, Sean and Colin. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're always excited to have you because you are a funny son of a bitch being an improviser by trade. So now, when I did ask you if you wanted to do Scorpion King, and I will admit, Colin thought of you before I did, and I've known you far longer, and Colin was like, no, we got to get Jordan for this one. And when I sent it to you, I'm like, okay, we'll see if he bites. You said you had me at Scorpion King. I didn't have to convince you. So do you just love talking about these kind of mindless movies with us? Or do you have like a special place in your heart for the Scorpion King?
Well, it's more the style of movie. I think, you know, it's right up there with a lot of the things that I like. Swords and sandals and muscular men killing each other. You know, it's right in the wheelhouse of what I enjoy.
Outstanding. Well, this week we are looking back at April 2002 when the movies in theaters were Changing Lanes, Death to Smoochie, Panic Room, Van Wilder, and of course our movie for today, The Scorpion King, which earned $180.6 million on a $60 million budget.
And of course we will be shooting spoilers like arrows, so if you don't want to take one to the back, please hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So, the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, well, I found only one. Once again, I have been let down by all my little search corners that I go to for this kind of stuff. Found only one this week. Hopefully it's enough. Warrior, Legend, King.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are all individual thoughts. They all have a period after them. So, three sentences.
Well, that kind of seems like they're fishing for a title for this movie, like Scorpion Legend. No, Scorpion Warrior. No, Scorpion King.
they're basically transcribing onto the poster what the conversation was in the writer's room, where they're sitting around. Okay, we need a name here, guys. Scorpion. We got Scorpion. We know it has to be a scorpion because of the Mummy movie. But Warrior. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it is, I think.
Yeah.
But they landed on it with Scorpion King. But this may not describe the movie itself, so let's go to Colin and do a 60-second synopsis.
My first initial thought on that was like, well, this movie should have been a franchise, and maybe it could have, you know, could have led to the King. Maybe they could have started like...
It is a franchise, though. No, you know that, right?
I know it is, but it's not really. We can discuss
this. It should
this
have started
we
as
can
an
discuss
origin.
This after, okay. But it could have been we'll it could have been like Scorpion Warrior. I mean, I think the order would have to be. It'd have to be Warrior, King, then Legend.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That would be the Scorpion trilogy, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it should have been. It went down a much darker path, but we'll talk about that. All right, here we go. I'm just going to preface this by saying it's not my best work. This movie is so basic that it's really hard to like pull a lot out.
I feel you.
Okay, Long ago, a warrior horde led by the evil King Memnon is wreaking havoc on the peoples of ancient Egypt. As tribes and kingdoms fall before the might of Memnon's armies, the survivors band together to hire a group of Akkadian mercenaries led by Matthias to kill Memnon's oracle sorcerer, who is the key to his power. Matthias and his brothers vow to see the task done, but during the raid, the Akkadians quickly discover they've been betrayed and he is left as the sole survivor. With his sights now set on revenge, Matthias abducts the oracle, harnesses the power of the desert to take down Memnon's armies, and almost gets killed by a scorpion venom-tipped arrow. Realizing he can't do it alone, Matthias joins the rebel tribe and leads them to battle to take down Memnon with the arrow from his back. After, you know, a blazing fire sword fight, pretty much all the, like, all the pièce de résistances you could want in an action sequence. There you
go. Right on. So now, something we've been doing in 2022 that we haven't done before, and we haven't really talked about on the show, we have gone to fortnightly. We are now every 2 weeks, in case people haven't noticed and they're like, hey, why are these guys only releasing every 2 weeks? But the other thing is, Colin and I are rotating back and forth between who picks the movie. So this was Colin's pick. I do want to say that. But before I watched this movie, I thought I knew and enjoyed this movie to an extent. I knew it was dumb, but I knew I enjoyed it to an extent. But then after watching it, I'm like, where's the scene with the giant CGI, The Rock as a, you know, like half scorpion, half rock, terrible CGI? And I'm like, oh shit, that was in The Mummy. So yeah. Once I started watching this movie, I realized, oh, I don't know this movie very well at all. I know I've seen it at least twice.
Okay.
Once, I think I saw it in theaters. I'm pretty sure I saw this in theaters. And once when it was first released on home video. And I don't think I've looked at it since. So I didn't have a whole lot of history with this movie going in. Jordan, as our special guest, I mean, you said it has everything you like sandals and swords. And do you have a history with the Scorpion King?
Yeah, I walked into the theater going to watch Scorpion King because I wanted to see a cool movie about scorpions. And I was sorely disappointed at the lack of scorpions in this movie. In fact, even when The Rock becomes the scorpion creature at the end, he's kind of like you mentioned, half man, half scorpion, which is more of a centaur than it is a scorpion in many, many ways.
Yeah, at the end of The Mummy, yeah.
And also then didn't fight Sub-Zero, so I felt very lost watching this whole thing.
He could have been all sorts of scorpions, yeah, that's for sure. Now, so Colin, what is it about the Scorpion King that made you want to pick the Scorpion King?
Well, I mean, the Scorpion King for me is a true child, like, we've been watching a lot of movies that were very important to you and their child. I wouldn't say this movie is important to me, but it's one it's definitely a movie that, like, was a big part of my childhood. It was one
it
of
reflects,
like,
your childhood.
From basically grade 7 to grade 12 was a diehard WWF fan, and that was, like, in the prime of the attitude area of WWF, when, like, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin were at their height. And so, like, I remember being supremely invested in all things wrestling at the time that this movie and The Mummy Returns coming out, and it being such a huge deal that The Rock was going to be in The Mummy Returns. And then, and then I remember going to watch Mummy Returns in the theater and thinking, you know, that first 2 minutes was awesome. The last little bit when he shows up as the CGI spider was less awesome. But I always was like, I liked The Mummy all right, but after watching The Rock, I was like, you know, I couldn't wait for there to be a standalone Scorpion King movie. And when they announced that there would be one, I was super excited. And yeah, I just remember going to watch this movie and just loving it. And again, it was one of the first DVDs I ever owned. It's still one of those movies, anytime I'm on Netflix where I pass by it, I'm just, you know, I might just throw it on as background as background noise. It's kind of one of those movies for me.
Yeah.
I also really remember I owned, back in the day, they aren't really anymore, but in 2002, I feel like soundtracks were a big deal. I was reading a little bit about, this one was awesome, the Scorpion King soundtrack, and then shortly after Spider-Man came out, which also had a wicked soundtrack. But yeah. this one had, you know, like Godsmack, the I Stand Alone was on that, which is just like such a killer song. Had some POD and Drowning Pool and some Nickelback, and there's an Ozzy Osbourne Rob Zombie track on it that was really awesome. So, I don't know, the Scorpion King is just always, I mean, like, you know, The Rock is The Rock now, and I feel like he's, you know, the world loves The Rock, but I always like to say, like, I love The Rock before it was popular, so.
Okay, now, I don't know if I've ever asked this, who is your wrestler?
Triple H. For sure.
Triple H?
Yeah.
Jordan, were you ever into wrestling? I don't know. I don't think I've ever asked you that, but are you a wrestling fan ever?
Oh, yeah. I was a big-time wrestling fan, yeah.
Okay, and who's your guy? What's your era?
Well, my era extends all the way from the Hulk Hogan Macho Man era through to the Attitude era. Because like Colin, I enjoyed watching Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H and all them.
Yeah.
I think my favorite wrestler is probably the Boston Brawler.
Okay.
Which is a more lesser known wrestler than the Brooklyn Brawler.
Well, yeah, I was thinking of the Brooklyn. I don't even think I know who the Boston Brawler is.
Nobody does. He's that obscure.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, I wasn't huge into wrestling, but I mean, I was definitely like mostly the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage era. Like that's more me. But I remember I had one of those like 12-inch like heavy rubber figurines.
Oh yeah.
And I had George the Animal Steel and King Kong Bundy. Those were the two toys I had. I mean, I didn't have Hulk, I didn't have Andre the Giant, I didn't have the Ultimate Warrior. I had George the Animal Steel and King Kong Bundy. So, but yeah, I mean, that was more my era, but I definitely remember when The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin came up. Yeah. Well, let's jump into this, what we're here for, though, The Scorpion King. It's directed by Chuck Russell, who we've talked about before because he was the director of The Mask, produced by Sean Daniel, James Jacks, Kevin Mischer, and Steven Summers. Plus, Vince McMahon gets the executive producer credit. And I'll get more to that in a second, I think. Written by Steven Summers, Jonathan Hales, William Osborne, and David Hayter. You know, a good four-person team writing this movie. That's always a good sign when it comes to a movie. And, yeah, so Vince McMahon gets the executive producer credit. Now, I believe the reason he gets this is because Dwayne Johnson wanted to use the moniker The Rock in this movie.
Yeah, I was noticing in the credits it's not even Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it's literally just The Rock.
And so because he's using The Rock, that's why Vince McMahon is like, whoa, hey, no, I get some of that money over here. Hmm. You know, because that's what Vince McMahon does. But yeah, I found out that with this movie, he became temporarily, I don't know who's passed him or if he still holds this record, but he had a Guinness record as the highest paid leading man in a debut movie. And I think he probably negotiated a higher contract because he decided to go as The Rock in this movie instead of Dwayne Johnson.
Hmm.
That's my theory, though, at least. I don't know if that's confirmed, right? Like, you know, like it is true that he became the highest paid leading man for, you know, like all that's true. But I think that's how those connect. I really think that's how those connect. If he had gone by Dwayne Johnson, I don't think he would have had a record holding payday.
Yeah, for sure. The name recognition has to count. And I even remember like watching it at the time. It was, you could tell that in these movies, in the Mummy Returns and the Scorpion King, like, oddly, you wouldn't think it would work because it wouldn't work nowadays, but they were, like, capitalizing on the WWE's, like the wrestling stardom of The Rock.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange because it's, you know, like The Rock was kind of the first one, like Hulk Hogan, I guess, was in a few movies as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Suburban Commando and Mr. Mom. Mr. Nanny, sorry.
Nanny, yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget Three Ninjas, Mega Mountain or whatever it was.
Yeah, and he was in one of the Rocky movies too, as Thunder Lips.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
True. Rocky, yeah. Rocky, yeah. 3. And of course he had a sex tape. So, you know, there's that too.
Yeah.
And his reality show, didn't he have like the Hogan Family reality show or something like that?
Yeah. Keeping up with the Hogans or something.
Yes.
Yeah. But it didn't really work with, like, you know, the two most notable guys to come after him would be Dave Bautista and John Cena. And those two have like obviously found some fame now, but they didn't have, like, The Rock kind of like started hot, faded out, and then came back with a vengeance. Whereas those guys, it's like, you know, it took a lot longer. Like their WWE value didn't really do anything for them.
Yeah. I know with this movie, one of my first observations was, oh, this is scrawny Rock with hair. I always forget about scrawny Rock with hair compared to like the beast that he is now. And it's like, I kind of like him better at this size. He doesn't feel as awkward. He doesn't feel like he's going to tip over from the weight of his shoulders and his lats.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, it's funny that you say this is him scrawny. Like, he is definitely not as like bulky, but I mean, he's nowhere near like later on when he goes into his Disney phase, I like to call it. And he does like the Tooth Fairy and the Game Plan. And he's like, Race to Witch Mountain. In those movies, he's thin. Like, in those movies, he's really thin. But yeah, the hair thing is funny. Especially in this movie, because it's so long and such terrible wig.
but he's got those very deliberate triangle sideburns that does not go with the mullet, like, do that he has going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I figure they probably just glued that on, because you're right, all the hair is at the back.
Yeah.
Still a very slick cut, you know, and then this fountain of hair coming out of the back there.
Yeah, like when it's dark, he just looks like the Rock that you remember from being on your TV, but then when he starts running and the hair starts flailing back, then you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm really impressed that he does not lean into too many Rock-isms, considering that he was still, like, wrestling at the time, or just retired. I think he was still wrestling at the time.
He was still wrestling here.
He was still active.
We got a people's eyebrow.
You get one people's eyebrow, but that's about it, right? Yeah. You know? Like Jumanji gives you more. Jumanji gives you like the 1,000-yard stare that The Rock gives you in the ring when he looks up and to the left, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to think. In a lot of his movies, especially at the beginning, he at least did the Rock bottom once. But I don't think he actually does it in this one. He does a few like clear like wrestling moves and stuff, but I don't think we get to see a Rock bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how those moves seem to work their ways into his movies. Like the rundown or whatever, you know, he's doing suplexes and dropping rock bottoms left and right, you know.
Yeah. The one thing, like at the start of this movie when it opens and, you know, The Rock shows up with his epic boo line and then proceeds to beat the crap out of all those guys, I found the Foley work in this movie very off-putting from the get-go. Like, it was just, I just couldn't stop, like, it never sounded natural to me. I just couldn't help but always hear like the dish, 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 like in with every punch, or like, and every time he would hit somebody, I would just be like, that was fake. Like, nothing sounded real. It was very, the whole movie, it was very, I found it very hard to focus because of that.
I had trouble focusing on anything except the antler chandelier, because I had these crazy Beauty and the Beast vibes for one, but I was watching that the whole time going, oh, how's this going to come into play, because you know this is going to come to play. But I will say, in the very beginning, I do like that, like, one of the opening shots is the guy getting a throwing star in the face.
Yeah,
you know, but I gotta ask, where exactly are they? Because, like, none of the weapons seem to have any kind of theme going on. Like, yeah. You've got some Middle Eastern looking stuff, but you also got some Asian. But I figured because of the mummy, he was supposed to be somewhere near Egypt at least. But then it's like, no one in the movie is Egyptian. No one is the same race. Oh, except maybe that one guy, the Arpid, the guy from True Lies. He might be like some sort of Egyptian or something. But where are they?
Yeah, I was trying to look that up for my 60-second synopsis because I agree. I don't like the city that Memnon's castle in. We find out is Gomorra, of like Sodom and Gomorrah fame, I'm assuming. Yeah, so,
and they do make a Sodom and Gomorrah joke at one point. Oh, you know, it's a nice city. Well, except maybe Sodom, you know.
So this is pre-divine destruction.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know. That first scene throws it off because I agree with you, Sean. I was like, it seems like maybe they're in, like,
Nepal, like, or
yeah,
or
like
Mongolia,
or
yeah,
somewhere like that. That's kind of the vibes it was giving me.
Maybe it was like Little Mongolia within Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, Mongolia Town or something.
Yeah,
it's where you go get your gremlins, get your mogwais down in Little Mongolia Town.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Well, yeah, see, because he does ride a camel instead of a horse.
Yeah,
you know, apparently camels are smarter than horses. Are camels smarter than horses?
I'm glad you asked, because I did look this up.
Oh, shit! Okay, here we go. That was unplanned, folks.
So I found this quote from a horse trainer and camel trainer called Al Ameri that I thought was hilarious. He says, "Horses have excellent memories, but are less intelligent than camels. The horse is a very forgiving animal even when people are bad to them. Camels, however, are not. They're smarter than horses. Horses have more memory than thoughts. Camels think a lot more and they remember everything. If you hurt a camel, he will never forget you and he'll do his best to get you. And eventually, if he can, he will kill you."
Whoa. Shit,
camels hold a grudge.
Yeah, so, you know, don't fuck with a camel, I guess, is the long story short.
Wow. I think I may have found a new, like, insult to use on people. Or not even an insult, like a way to describe people in life. Oh, that guy? Yeah, he's a camel. I pissed him off once, and, like, he's coming after me.
Yeah, no idea camels were that type of creature. That's fascinating.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Thinking about this, you know what would have been a good name for this movie? Would have been Sand Abs.
Sand Abs?
Yeah, because they're all ripped up, you know, all shredded, and there's sand everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I feel anytime I come across a show like one of these Love Islands or Too Hot to Handles. Or yes, I've got a soft spot for some of these terrible, terrible dating shows. But that's how I always feel, is they're all romantic, or they're trying to get all romantic, and it's just, they're so sandy. And it's like, God, just brush off that sand. Why don't you guys care about sand?
Oh, well, it makes sense not to care about sand if your name is The Rock.
Those are your children.
Yeah, it's a bunch of little rocks.
Yeah, that's some sort of thin privilege to me. I feel like as a bigger guy, sand is just no good. It just gets everywhere. But I feel like when you watch those shows and they're all thin and chiseled, it's like the sand just, you know, just, you could just rub it off with ease. It's not, there's no crevices to get stuck in.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I agree, and that's a good point, Colin. And more to the historical accuracy of this film, you know how kings would have been back in the day, like Henry VIII or whatnot? They're kind of portly, tubby-like fellows. I would have liked to have seen The Rock gain some mass for this movie and make the Scorpion King this sort of portly, kind of big-bellied fellow. You know, that's how a king would have been.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just sitting there watching his gestures.
Or exactly. Gestures.
Gestures, not gestures. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's... You know, or maybe he's got some sort of underground scorpion fighting ring, you know, almost like, you know, a dog ring, like Michael Vick style. He's got these scorpions that fight and people take bets on them. They're all standing around in a circle, screaming things, holding money up in the air, or whatever those rubies are that he gets paid in. What are those? They look like glass balls. Like they're smooth. Are they rubies? What I don't understand what those were.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Gems of some sort. Like is a ruby just the color, or does it have to be the specific shape of the stone?
Yeah, well, I think rubies specifically are red.
Yeah. But I don't know whether they come all angular. Like, what does a raw diamond look like? Are there already facets in a raw diamond? Like, I know they have to, you know, make it perfect, but I don't know enough about gemology. Fuck!
I'm not a geologist.
Yeah, out of all the things that I'm not, a geologist is another thing.
One of the problems I have with this movie is that, you know, in The Mummy Returns, when you first meet the Scorpion King, it's like the scorpion thing makes sense because, as I remember it, he's wearing like scorpion type battle armor with his army, but he's also a bad guy.
Yeah,
I found it odd that this movie just tries to make you forget that he's like, when you first met him 2 years ago, he was like this evil warlord, and now we're gonna try to make him this hero.
Yeah, he should have been like a Rasputin type figure or something.
Oh, like having sex with the Russian queen under the Tsar's nose.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he kind of did do that.
Well, I guess so. That's true. Yeah, he did deflower the sorceress so that her sight wouldn't work anymore.
Oh.
It's all making sense.
There we go.
I felt, as much as I love this movie, I find the cheapness of the idea that, you know, the scorpion venom, the scorpion blood will now be in his veins forever, was like, that was going to make him the that is what makes him the Scorpion King, when it really never comes up again in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think, going back to the tagline, they might like you to believe that that's the legend, the scorpion venom is the legend, but it's not much of a legend to just get stabbed in the leg and survive. And how do they even know it's scorpion venom?
Yeah.
I don't recall anybody tasting it or anything like that.
Just a lucky guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
This movie owes a lot to Conan the Barbarian, I think.
Yeah, I did actually read something somewhere where people compare it to Conan, is that it's similar storytelling. Like, I don't think the Scorpion King is a real legend, is it?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's, like, loosely based off of, like, a real person.
Like, is this Brad Pitt playing Achilles in Troy? Is this that kind of movie? Or is it, like, even more obscure than that of a legend? Like,
where it's, like,
three different people are kind of amalgamated into this one guy or something like that.
That I'm not sure of.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, like, the name Balthazar, when it comes to Michael Clark Duncan, there is a story, I think, that I recall that has a Balthazar in it. Like, that's a pretty distinct name, and I know I've heard that in an old tale. I just have no idea which one.
Okay, the only time I've heard the name Balthazar is in Lord of the Flies with Balthazar Getty.
Oh!
It's J.P. Getty's grandson.
Okay.
Anyway,
I actually do remember that as well. Yeah, I'm like sitting here thinking back to like grade 7 language arts, but yeah, that's a little while ago at this point.
Well, this was a pretty clean movie, The Scorpion King. Like, there wasn't a lot of swearing or anything.
Yeah,
people might have got impaled, but nothing was cleaner in this movie than the Rock's teeth. They were very immaculate.
Yeah. On top of that, not just the Rock's teeth, and I mean like that killer mullet that he had going on, but I also find that most of the women in this movie are impossibly hot for something that should be taking place like in the BC times with no sanitation or hygiene or anything. Bunch of impossibly hot women. I mean, the sorceress. I mean, sure, she's got a cushier life, but man, Kelly Hugh in this movie, she's fire. She is so hot, and she's got, like, the Princess Leia slave outfit. I mean, like, I feel bad for her that she has to, like, be objectified like that, but she is working it and pulling it off. I mean,
the lengths they go to not show her nipples is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And, like, the amount... watching this movie, I couldn't help but think if this movie was made today, it would be, all those women would be nude. Like, it's just, this movie would be a different movie if it were made now. And I also kind of was wondering, like, what led, like, why wasn't it then? It just seems like the type of demographic it's made for. I mean, you didn't have to see all the boobs, but I was shocked that we got through this entire movie with no boobs.
Yeah. That's why they had to ramp up the hotness of, like, the prostitutes in the movie and stuff. So that it's like, they're not going to go all the way, at least it's like, okay, but the suggestion is there. Don't worry, we know you can picture it. But, you know, I'd like to make an adjustment to what you said there about the fact that if it was made today, I think if it was made 5 years ago, like when Game of Thrones was still on the air and in its heyday, then yes, it would have been far more nude. But I think now being made in 2022, I have a feeling that the nudity would be still very well hidden.
Tame.
And I don't think the sorceress would be as objectified. I think she would have some sort of form-fitting, full-length something instead of the strip of fabric down her middle that she did get.
I feel like that was just a makeshift dress that she had out of whatever towel she stole after they come out of that pool.
Oh, there was that one, with the kid. That was a great reaction from the kid. That's the thing. There are a few funny moments, and that's one of them, is when the kid is wishing, and you don't know what he's wishing for, but then she comes up, and you know what he was wishing for. I mean, that was fantastic. And I'd like to say that I think the whole fire ant scene, when he's buried up to his neck in the dirt, and they release the ants, I thought that was a lot of fun.
I remember that I was trying to think if maybe I'm thinking of a different movie, but I could have swore I remember there being more to that scene where, like, at first he gets him to try to dig himself out with toothpicks. But is that from a different movie? Like, do you guys?
That might be from a different movie. Yeah. I don't think it's Wagons East. But it's like one of those type of movies. What's the one with Matthew Perry? No, I think that's Wagons East, isn't it? Matthew Perry and John Candy.
No, it was Richard Lewis and John Candy in that one.
Okay.
Maybe is it Almost Heroes? Is that what
Almost
you're thinking
Heroes?
Of?
Yeah,
yeah. That you're totally right. That is the movie I'm thinking of.
Is that okay?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't Blazing Saddles. We know it wasn't Blazing Saddles, but there are comedy. I don't think it was A Million Ways to Die in the West or Ridiculous Six either. It's older than that. So yeah, I mean, I would go with Almost Heroes or Wagons East. Yeah.
That could be. It was just one of those situations where I was watching and I was just like, yeah, I must have been thinking of a different movie and just thought it was part of it. But
oh yeah, because Almost Heroes, yeah, that's Matthew Perry and Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Different big fat guy. Right, okay. Yeah. Oh man, we might need to watch that one.
Chris Farley would have made such an excellent Scorpion King.
He's got the portliness that you're looking for one.
Yeah, see, he would have made a great, great Scorpion King. Better than The Rock, I think. Some fantasy casting for me for you there.
But you know what? I did want to bring up the fire ants because I think that means it's time for Sponsorship Corner.
Okay.
I gotta have a sponsorship corner. So this week, the Scorpion King is brought to you by fire ants. When you really need to have someone's face eaten off, fire ants. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
You know, fire ants are great, but I was really disappointed with the last batch of fire ants that I bought. I wanted to go commit some arson, so I bought the fire ants and I threw them at a house, but they didn't do anything. They didn't burn anything. Very disappointing.
They didn't eat everybody alive until they were just bare skulls?
No, it was just a handful, you know, so it's kind of scattered.
Not enough thing.
Well, okay, I want to know, though, what was your plan for them? Like, do you expect the fire ant to breathe fire like a dragon? Or were you hoping that these were trained fire ants that, like, could carry in a jerry can full of gas and some matches?
Sure, whether they breathe fire or whether they have the intelligence to create fire, that's up to them. That's their specialties. They're the fire ants. I leave that in their hands.
Okay. Well, yeah, you need a new fire ant guy. I got a guy. I'll send you a text later.
Okay.
That's okay. Maybe they're like...
Maybe there was a typo and you accidentally bought like the firefighting ants. So they were just there like waiting for fire to happen.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, just hanging out in case some real fire ants show up and get some fires started there.
So when he does get stabbed by his poison arrow, what is the purpose of mounting him in order for the spell to work? Because that's not the point where they have sex. But she does this weird sensual mounting thing of him. Why did they make it so sexual? I don't know.
this is also the year that Van Wilder came out. Oh, there's true. A lot of like, and it's yeah. Again, the demographic. We all just wanted it. I don't really understand what she was sucking out of him though. If it's not the poison, then what was the point?
Oh, did you see the look on Jordan's face when you said that?
Well, I'm trying to recall this scene in the movie, and it doesn't come to mind, no pun intended.
Well, you know, she does, like, she's straddling him, and then she does this weird, like, cross-armed, like sway, and then she just leans over him, opens her mouth, and this, like...
Yeah, she's aura, like a dementor sucking his soul exactly. out, yeah.
Oh, okay, his life essence.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
Well, gotcha. Yeah.
Or like some sort of like poison vapor from him. I don't know.
Mm.
The poison went aerosol and she sucked it up out like it was an asthma inhaler.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to survive being poisoned, I guess. Got a sorceress to suck it on out of you.
I mean, yeah. That's what you're...
Where does this movie fall in the history of The Rock's tattoos? Is this pre-big shoulder fucking?
Yeah, he would have only had the bull tattoo on the one arm at this point.
Yeah, the Brahma bull.
I was wondering whether they were going through major lengths to hide his big shoulder piece or not. So. Because I've noticed that these days, they just don't fucking bother anymore.
Hiding tattoos?
Well, his tattoos. His especially. Tattoos, yeah. Yeah.
Well, if he's in, like, Fast and Furious or something, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think the Scorpion King would have been a heavily tattooed man, considering he's pre-biblical Gomorrah here.
Yeah. But, I mean, it all looks tribal, and we don't know where he actually is, so...
It would have looked more like prison tattoos, where it's just, like, pen ink. Maybe a chisel on his rocky shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Sodom and Gomorrah, then, is that, like, Israel?
I
think they were the next cities over. It was, like, Israel, then Sodom and Gomorrah, kind of like Edmonton, Calgary, Lloydminster.
What? Well, yeah, I mean...
Jerusalem would be the city, I think. Israel's the country, right?
Right, or maybe around Babylon or Mesopotamia, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Mesopotamia is probably like that like Iraq, like Middle Eastern.
Right.
Okay.
Area.
Yeah, Iraq, Iran, Syria, that sort of part of the world there.
So the things like the swords and the weird hook things that he uses are probably of like Indian or Pakistani influence then? Like they're coming from there, not like full-on China?
Mm.
But we still got throwing stars? I don't know enough about ancient history to know if it's even coming within a whisper of being historically accurate, you know?
I know a little bit about history, Sean. Let me chime in here. This was right around the exact same place where Middle Earth is. So, okay. You know, they got the orcs and then they got the scorpionites.
Yeah.
And it's all sort of mashed into where, you know, where Gomorrah is right around there. That's where it's.
Okay. Yeah. That's near like the Hobbit town of place.
Oh. Yeah. The Shire was right outside.
The Gomorrah. Shire. The Shire. I'm so bad at Lord of the Rings. Holy shit.
Wow. The Shire. Then you got Sodom. Then you got Gomorrah, you know?
Yeah. there also seems to be like a variety of technologies, because there's the crazy old man that has the Chinese exploding powder. So there's that as well.
Yeah, the invention of dynamite.
Yeah.
That guy reminds me of Doc Brown.
A little bit. I was sitting there. I'm like, who is that guy? Why does he look familiar? What's he in? And I'm like, oh, shit, that's the captain from Titanic.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I was looking at his IMDb, that's the only thing I remember him from. But I'm like, oh, but that is 100% what I know him from, sadly.
Fascinating.
Even though this movie is already like very simple, at only like it's only like 90 minutes or something, I found that character and the little sidekick character, I can't remember his name,
The Alum or whatever his name, Arpid.
Yeah, I could have done without them. I think like I didn't feel like they added anything of substance to the movie. Like they almost got in the way. Like I felt it would have been a better movie if it had just been like Matthias goes, gets betrayed, goes and steals the Oracle, and then like they could have had more Balthazar, I feel like.
Yeah.
To just come in and be like his foil for that little bit, than have that psychic dude.
They were comic relief in a movie that I don't think is supposed to be a comedy, but somehow everything else is a comedy. Like you said, the famous opening line of boo is obviously for laughs.
Yeah.
And then you add comic relief characters, it's like, well, what is the tone? Because like the Mummy has some funny moments, but it's still supposed to be suspenseful and scary in times.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
I kind of just feel like The Rock still has his... He has enough funny moments, I feel like, that still lend to the movie comedy.
Yeah.
It's almost like those guys just get... They're like too over the top where maybe they wanted to make it... Like, I don't think it would have been any less of a comedic movie even if they weren't there, because you still have The Rock with his... You know, his cheesy one, like everybody has a cheesy one liner in this movie, mm-hmm. It seems like. And then you have the people's eyebrow, and then, but really, like, this movie is just a nonstop sequence of like action set piece to action set piece, right? Like, it just moves from, it starts off with the battle at that hut. You have the brief scene where they just they show all the sad tribes who they need these guys' help. They come, they show up. Then it's like, action scene as he's ziplining off the camel into the camp, cutting the thing open, whatever, fighting gets captured. Then you have like the short scene with where he's the fire ant scene, basically. And then it's back in the town and he's like, you know, trying to murder people with this kid. And then it's just these like, there's these like tiny little 1 to 2 minute interstitials between every action scene. And then it's like, you know, it just moves on to the sandstorm fight, and then,
well, yeah, like the well choreographed little pickpocketing scene with the kids, you know, like where it's okay, that's smart, way to go, these are some well organized thugs in this town. But yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where the wacky music is playing for that scene, and then we get into another act. Well,
I mean, you could even kind of gauge the movie by the music tone, because it goes between these like wacky market sounds to and you're like okay, fighting is about to happen, testosterone is raising through the roof, let's go.
That's the musical equivalent of a steroid shot.
Yeah. Well, that's the perfect way to handle a movie with The Rock in it. Keep him in action scenes, keep him, you know, beating people up, smashing things up. You know, you certainly don't go to a movie with The Rock in it and expect to watch, you know, The Great Gatsby or something like that.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think they handled him pretty well, you know, keep him fighting guys and doing his thing.
A little Citizen Rock for you.
Yeah, just think about what The Rock's career could have been if he had just kept, like, if he didn't have that brief part where he decided, you know, I need to get skinny and do family movies. You could have just, like, gone, you know, Scorpion King, Rundown, and I mean, I like Walking Tall, but that, you could see that was kind of the beginning of his change of style.
Yeah.
And then he comes back with Pain and Gain later, but it takes a long time to get there.
Have you ever seen any of the sequels? Because I think there's 4 of these movies. I was shocked to find out there was 4. I vaguely remember there being a second one, but...
Yeah, I watched the second one, which was a prequel, And it's kind of like, which makes no sense because it's a younger version of Matthias.
Okay.
And Rent, like, the funny thing is there's always like some UFC or WWE star in each one. So in the second one, it's Randy Couture is the big bad guy. Okay. And then I think in the third one, Roy Nelson is there. Dave Bautista is in one of them, I think three or four.
Oh, really?
And then, but I had the second one was the only one. And I say watched in that, like, I put it on, watched maybe 15 minutes of it, and was like, I can't do this. They're so bad. And then, I didn't bother watching any of the other ones.
They're like that old Hercules show with Kevin Sorbo. Like that kind of cheese. Yeah.
That's the perfect. Like the guy who ends up playing Matthias in the third and fourth one, which are meant to pick up after the events of the Scorpion King, is from soap opera. His name is Victor Webster. Apparently, he was also in the TV show Continuum. He's a Canadian actor.
Oh, okay.
And then you have Ron Perlman shows up in one. Billy Zane is in one.
Of course, Billy Zane is in one.
Hey, he's got something in common there. Him and the captain of the Titanic, they're in the same movie. Yeah, right. Yeah. That guy's got to feel a little bit raw, hey, because he's on Titanic. He's surrounded by all this water. And then he probably says to his agent, well, I'm not doing any more water films. Get me something else. And then he sticks him in a desert with all this sand.
Oh, yeah.
Funny. It is kind of funny watching The Scorpion King because by today's standards, to me, I would like it. As I was watching it, I just thought, like, I can't believe this movie was in the theater. Like, it just seems like a made-for-TV movie, which then shows you how terrible the sequels are because they're like, I don't even know, they were actually direct-to-video movies and they're just god awful. So,
yeah, it definitely was a series of diminishing returns. I think between Scorpion King 1 and Scorpion King 4 and the TV show.
The TV show?
There was a
TV show.
There was a Scorpion King TV show?
Indeed.
What?
Yeah, unless I'm hallucinating this. I'm pretty sure there was a Scorpion King TV show for a short while.
Huh. Holy shit, I have to hop on my IMDb. I have to know if this is a thing. Because you say pretty sure, so...
I'm like 90% sure I watched... It was like, you know, it was in the realm of Xena and Hercules and all that stuff. Pretty sure they did like one or two seasons.
I can't find it, but if that's crazy.
Yeah, I have five things listed for Scorpion King though, because there is a Scorpion King Book of Souls, which came out in 2018. So I guess there's five of them. Rise of a Warrior is number two. There's Warrior, Battle for Redemption, Quest for Power. Those are the other two.
I mean, I did think after watching it, because I had read that, you know, The Rock and his production company back in 2020 were contemplating doing a reboot of The Scorpion King. And I did think, like, if they were to do it, they should definitely do it as a series, not a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I just think when you have these adventure type things, you need more time. You need more time, which a series can do. And sometimes when you do them in a movie, it's just everything. It becomes too much about the action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, which is why we've now got like a Lord of the Rings series coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I didn't know people were asking for that. But, you know.
I don't think anyone was, to be honest. I think Amazon was just kind of like, "Hey, we own this thing and we can use it to print money. Okay, let's make it."
Yeah. Yeah. So you did bring up when you were talking about the various scenes, you brought up the sandstorm scene. I have to say, I thought that was kind of a cool scene where he's hunting his prey in the cave.
Yeah. That seems a lot of fun still.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Or like the fight between The Rock and Michael Clark Duncan. I liked the shattering swords, which I read was like a mistake. And they just decided, okay, we got to keep this shot, so that's why they changed it to a fist fight instead.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were both kind of muscly guys there, fighting it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, same here.
Even in Daredevil, he was a decent Kingpin. Come on.
Yeah, I loved him as Kingpin.
I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio is by far better, but Michael Clark Duncan was a fun Kingpin, as shitty as that movie was.
Yeah, he was probably the best part of that movie.
Yeah. And, of course, the Green Mile. And Armageddon. Huh?
Yeah. He was in a lot of stuff.
I haven't seen Armageddon.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. That's
Scorpion King.
I know. It seems like a Jordan movie, though. That feels, you know, that's Jerry Bruckheimer. So I don't know. We might have to have Jordan back for that. So now, when it comes to the fighting, are flaming swords, one, possible, and two, practical?
Oh, yeah. As long as you don't put it back in the sheath while it's still flaming, then you can get burned up. It's very bad. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I mean, I know they're possible because I've seen them. Like, I've seen, you know, circus performers and stuff use them. So I definitely know it's possible.
But he just dips them into the fire and they come out flaming. So, like, what is his sword made out of? Like, magnesium?
Well, that was my question, too. I was wondering, like, are his sword blades pre-soaked in gasoline or oil or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't think they would last as long as they were, even if they were dipped in... Because it's like, it's not like the metal is going to catch fire. You'd have to continue to fuel those up.
Yeah, you'd have to have a little oil on that blade there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've always wondered that with when it comes to, like, you know, Indiana Jones movies or the Goonies or something like that, where they take a bone and wrap it in a rag and light it on fire and walk around with it. How long is that actually going to last as a light source? Or, you know, like, I feel like it's not going to last that long. The torches on Survivor for them to get back to camp, they at least have wicks in them. You know, so it's the same thing here. Like, those swords are not going to stay lit up.
Yeah, only as long as your accelerant is on there, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, at that point, The Rock is shirtless anyway, so it's not like you're going to catch his clothing on fire and distract him that way. Of course, I guess you could go for the hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could catch his hair on fire. It looks pretty greasy. I do like that scene when... I mean, I don't know. That, like, I'm so partial to a sword fight. It's just... It instantly raises the value of any movie to me, and this is no exception. Like, as soon as those swords come out at the end, I was like... And the thing is, Memnon is actually a very formidable opponent for The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, even though The Rock is so huge, it's really his own arrogance that gets him killed. You just have to think, even on his best day, like, the day where he actually catches the arrow, it's like a peaceful day, nothing is happening... He's the ruler of the world, basically, and the guy who's shooting the arrow at him is this, like, small old man. Like, he's not the beefy Dwayne The Rock Johnson in, you know, a high-stress situation where he's just learned that his best girl betrayed him, and, you know, all his armies, like, no longer really have faith in him anymore, and now this guy, like, I don't know what he was thinking to think. And the thing is, he also has swords in his hands. He caught the arrow before with his bare hands. He didn't slice it.
I was wondering about that because, like, is that why a few scenes earlier they show that the one guy can't even pull back the strings of the bow? Like, is that to show you just how strong you have to be to wield this bow? Is that why he can't catch it? Is because it is a stronger bow coming at him? Like, it's going faster than he expected?
Maybe. I mean, we also have to remember that way back at the beginning of the movie when he starts firing arrows, it's his arrow, the force of the impact of his arrow is literally causing people to fly out of the roof of these huts.
Lift off the ground. Yeah, I did make a note about that, that's for sure. Yeah, you gotta love that people are going flying. And then in that opening scene when people are going flying, there's the guy, one guy up in the balcony that is throwing knives at the other guy that's, like, strapped to the table or whatever. Is he missing on purpose? Because he's a terrible aim.
Well, they had been drinking heavily, partying and whatnot, so maybe he was just off his game.
I see. Okay.
Could be. Maybe he's an ancestor of the stormtroopers or something like that, you know? Incredibly bad aim.
Yeah, that must be it.
I'd like to comment on The Rock's physique again here, if I could, for a moment. You know, a lot of these people in this movie are, they're going to be peasants. They're starving. They're all, I don't have enough to eat. They're all weak, you know. But he's got the muscle mass of a modern-day bodybuilder. The heck is he eating all day? Where's he getting this food? I don't even see him eat once in the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Camel's hump.
Camel's hump. Yeah. It used to be, what's the B one? Bacterus camel, and now it's a dromedary.
He's eaten one whole hump camels? Off?
Yeah, there's the two hemp camel, and its name starts with a B, and then the one hemp camel is a dromedary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's how you can remember which one's which, because if you turn a camel on its side, it looks like a B if it's got two humps. It
looks like a D if
it's got one hump.
Oh, okay. Oh. Some camel facts for you.
Camel facts. So it used to be the two-hump camel, but he's eaten one whole hump to stay so jacked.
Makes sense.
Maybe he's been injecting a little bit of the scorpion venom in the ass, you know? Like, he's got... Oh, that's where his power comes from. Yeah. Medieval ancient steroids.
Yeah, something.
You mentioned Memnon a second ago. Did you get a Kurt Russell vibe? Like a young Kurt Russell vibe from him? Or is that just me?
That's just you.
Okay.
he's not giving me it. That guy, I don't know. Kurt Russell's not the one I would go for there.
No, it's not Big Trouble in Little Gomorrah.
No.
Not for you? Okay.
Well, I'll say this about The Scorpion King. It was a movie.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's The Scorpion King. Now, Colin, Jordan, on IMDb, it scored a 5.5 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 45. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 41% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 37%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like an arrow that can launch you through the roof of a cottage. Hit us with some reviews.
Okay, here we go. Rotten Tomatoes user Regina P gives the movie 1 out of 5 stars and says, LOL, I remember when this came out, but I just got around to seeing it. I see I missed nothing. It was so cheap. Wow, what else is there to say? Oh, I know. How do you keep the language clean for family audiences and then include so many half-naked women? I'm not understanding that directorial choice. It just seemed like a waste of production dollars to me.
Okay.
She has a point there, you know? They should have been completely naked women. That's and right. Half-naked.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Could have saved on your wardrobe budget then.
Trent M. gives the movie 2 out of 5 stars and says, The Scorpion King is a boring action movie with a predictable fight, but does have some decent action scenes. Overall, I would not recommend this movie to someone. It may have been good at one point when it came out, but apparently, it did not hold up.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Very fair.
This one from Google... I don't know why I love it so much, but I'm just, it's Drake, this guy named Drake Benyon gives the movie 4 stars and says, my friend Deborah and I were confused. We thought this movie was part of the Mummy franchise. Boy, were we surprised! We were so arrogant. And then it has a little smiley face.
Got humbled by the Scorpion King.
My favorite part of it is like my friend Deborah. Like we all know who Deborah is. Like does Deborah appear somewhere else in these reviews? I don't know.
Bizarre.
But Cynthia, on the other hand, Cynthia told us up front, but we didn't believe her that it was.
Jordan M. says, the highlight of the movie would be the fight scenes, as they were sort of a more violent version of Jackie Chan fight scenes that are creatively done. The comedic relief is more effective here than in some other movies, too. The music was noticeable and good, though I was disappointed that the soundtrack with several notable alt-rock bands only really played during the end credits. The dialogue was corny and the plot was convoluted. The movie was also too... and here's where it goes wrong... brown with the sand and the sandstone buildings and the brown skin actors throughout. It needed a dash of color, with the Rock's pearly whites not making up for that deficiency.
What? So was he saying that the movie was too white, or is he a racist?
It's unclear. I mean, he says that color comes in the form of the rock's pearly white, so I think racist.
Okay.
The bad guy's a white fella, that Memnon. Yeah, Memnon guy.
What I want to know is what his friend Joanne thinks.
Yeah, can we get Joanne back on the line?
Jason N. says 2 out of 5 stars. I was never bored, but I was never enthralled either.
Okay, yeah.
Arker P. gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, yo, that ending, though. The Rock really rock-bottom Kane from the top of Mount Everest with his nutsack dangling through the wind. Loved it! 10 out of 10.
Now, I thought you said there wasn't a rock bottom in this movie. So now that he pointed that out, do you remember that being?
No, okay. there wasn't one. That review is completely nonsensical. Kane's not in the movie.
Are there other wrestlers in the movie? Because there are a couple that looked kind of familiar to me.
There is. Well, so you remember how in Joe Dirt we talked about Tyler Mane?
Yeah.
So he is actually in this movie, but he's uncredited. He plays the guy, the leader of the horde in the hut at the very beginning.
That's
the guy who
what
gets,
it was. I once yeah, again guy, thought it was Triple H.
Yeah, the guy who gets on the antler chandelier there.
Oh, okay.
And then this last review, much to Jordan's point, from Herbert C., gives the movie 0.5 out of 5 stars and says, a poor man's Conan the Destroyer, which is already the poor man's Conan the Barbarian.
Fact. This is a fact. This person is speaking truth.
So there we go.
I like the double burn in that last one.
Well, Conan the Destroyer is the poor man's Conan the Barbarian. Scorpion King is the poor man's Conan the Destroyer. I can't summarize it any better than that fellow did there. That's excellent.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, we've got mid-50s, so is that your review of Scorpion King? What do you think of it fully on this? I was going to throw it right over to you anyway.
41 scorpions out of 10 for me.
41 scorpions out of 10, okay. So, Colin, what about you on this viewing? What do you think of the Scorpion King?
I was going to say it. To me, it's still one of The Rock's better movies, but I mean, The Rock has a lot of good movies. I think, for whatever reason, I think probably because I'm really partial to these, you know, like sword and sorcery type movies, this movie will always hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
With that, I mean, I can say I remember there being more to it is probably the best I can say about it. Yeah. When I watched it this time and was really like paying attention for the first time in a long time, I was surprised at just how basic and formulaic it was.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, doesn't take anything away from it as like just a popcorn fun action movie.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you mentioned that you mentioned the 90-minute runtime. And from what I read is the original cut came out to like 75 minutes. So they actually had to shoot a few extra scenes to put in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's so formulaic that like they managed to do it in like 75 minutes originally.
Yeah, I think for this movie, watching it this time, it just makes me kind of lament what it could have been. I've always been surprised, and I know it had sequels, but in my heart, they're not canon. Like, I don't consider this to be a true franchise. Whenever something comes out and then has like direct to DVD sequels, I don't really consider those movies to be part of it.
No, not usually.
But I feel like I would have. There's the, like I said before, there's the Scorpion King that you see at the beginning of The Mummy Returns, and there's the Scorpion King that you see in this movie, and I have always wished that there would have been some, whether it was like a comic book or a book or something, like, or more movies with The Rock, only with The Rock it can be, that would have, you know, bridged that gap to show like what happened.
Yeah.
Like, how did he go from being this, like, altruistic, you know, I make my own destiny guy to this, like, warlord? Like, he basically becomes Memnon, seemingly, right? So.
Yeah, but he's also so lovable, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, he's a nice guy. He looks out for the downtrodden.
Yeah, and I wonder if you could ever even make it now with The Rock, because I feel like The Rock refuses to be a bad guy. Like, I'm sure it's in his contract these days that, like, I will do no harm. Like, I will only harm evil, basically. Like, he's capable of playing a bad guy anymore.
Well, I don't know, though. Is Black Adam an anti-hero, isn't he? But is that along the lines of the Punisher? I don't know enough about Black Adam.
I mean, in the comics, Black Adam he is, like, the bad guy to Shazam, but it seems clear based on the movie again, and I think just because it's The Rock that, you know, it's gonna be... he's gonna be, like, Venom.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be... You know what? Black Adam's gonna be the Scorpion King all over again. Okay, Black Adam 2, you're gonna get Randy Couture, The Rock's gonna be gone.
Well, honestly, watching this movie, I kept drawing comparisons to The Rock's Hercules movie. Like, I almost feel like Hercules is the spiritual successor to the Scorpion King.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning there, you did say that this is one of The Rock's best movies, and I think I will stick with that. This is one of The Rock's best movies. As for Dwayne Johnson has had a better career since he stopped being The Rock. So, you know, it's that's how I look at this one. Yeah, is he did what, 3 movies where he had the name The Rock in the title, or was it 4? I think for Tooth Fairy he was Dwayne The Rock Johnson in that one, and then he dropped The Rock after that.
At least for the Tooth Fairy, he had the decency to wear a shirt. His nipples are on full display for the entire runtime of this film.
I think he was The Rock for this, The Rundown, Walking Tall, and Doom. And then he switched to being Dwayne Johnson.
Doom. Oh, shit. I forgot about Doom.
That's right.
He was the bad guy. He was the bad guy in that as well there.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
For like the second half of the movie, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's this. There's not much to this movie. I mean, I'll admit that when it came time to sit down and watch this movie, I'm like, ugh, okay. Well, at least I'm not going to have to find any sponsors, because I know there won't be any sponsors. Yeah. So my attention isn't as split. It's like, okay, I can just watch the movie and not have to pay too much attention. Just let it wash over me. And that's the only way you can enjoy this movie. There were funny bits. I was entertained at moments. The women were nice to look at. You know, even though I should be woke enough to not objectify women, but hey, you know, you're going to put them on screen, I'm going to look at them. But it's a 50% movie, maybe less. Like, I'm not going to rush out and watch more Scorpion King, and I wasn't intrigued enough to go and watch the sequels to see if they live up, and I'm glad to know that they don't.
they definitely don't.
Yeah.
Well, if I can add one final word in here about Scorpion King, I'm going to read Dishon Dev Thakur's 1-star review from 8 months ago.
Okay.
It says, still paid movie. Shame on you, Rock. I don't know what that means, but that's, yeah, I think he nailed it there.
Shame on you. How dare you, Rock? I trusted you.
I don't know if he rented it and was disappointed or what the case was, but...
He's still using Netflix the old-fashioned way?
Yeah, waiting for a DVD in the mail. He's still waiting for the sequel of the Randy Couture. We spoiled it for him today.
Well, there we go. That's the Scorpion King, and that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. A huge thank you to our special guest, Jordan Ward. So happy to have you back. Jordan has a fairly significant media presence out there online. Jordan, why don't you tell people what you're up to and where they can find you?
Well, I appreciate that, Sean. And thank you again, Sean and Colin, for having me on. I really do love comedy guests on your show. If people want to check out what I do is comedy. You can find my comedy on goodimprov.com. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all those good places. We tell jokes, we have fun, and we love doing comedy. So if you want to laugh, give us a like, a subscribe, and a follow, and a share. That'd be great.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they are not just a virtual comedy group. I mean, if you are in the Northern Alberta region, you could hire him and his troupe to come and do like one of your banquets or anything like that. You can find the links on your website if people want to hire you guys in person.
Indeed, if you want us to entertain you in person, we're happy to do that. Be it here in Alberta, be it in Gomorrah, be it in the Shire, wherever you are, contact us and we'll make it work.
Of course, I assume that they have to pay your airfare if you're going to the Shire.
Yeah, there's a Middle Earth travel fee, so.
Okay. If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out is, well, just tell people. Share our posts. Word of mouth is the lifeblood for a podcast trying to get noticed in that huge sea. I mean, we may not have competition from Joe Rogan for much longer, but, you know, Too soon. Okay, I might cut that out. But telling your friends is so important for a podcast to get noticed. Or go on to whatever app it is you listen to your podcast on and give us 5 stars. 5 stars in a review. It just helps mess with the algorithms, helps drive us up the charts, helps us get noticed. Or finally, if you wanted to support us financially, become an executive producer on the show. You could go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. And become part of our Patreon family. And if you're an executive producer, you get a shout out, just like Joshua Blum.
And be sure to check out our website, www.iselectthisone.com. There you can find links to all of our podcast episodes, as well as our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Go on there, give us some likes, shares, comments, all that good stuff. And if you want to reach us by email, you can do so at iselectthisone@gmail.com. Drop us a line and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much, Jordan.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you, Colin. That was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on again, guys. That was great.